This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 4, Episode 44, How to Play Spin. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we talk about memory and how it influences your playing and coaching, I think, leg spin bowling, how to play spin, and we have a very special guest from Australia, Roy Davey. All that and more coming up on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. The clocks tick round again. It's time for the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, the best source of audio goodness for all your cricket coaching. And we've got a great round table for you this week. As usual, I'm joined on the line from Millfield School. It's the director of cricket coaching there, Mark Garraway. Welcome to the show, Garras.
Thank you very much.
Settling back in after your half-term adventures?
Yeah, we're in full flow. It's been a good few days.
Also on the line, of course, if regular listeners will remember, a few weeks ago we had a special guest live on the show, Roy Davey, all the way from Australia. That's all the way for me from Australia, but for him, I'm all the way from England. Welcome back to the show, Roy.
Cheers, thanks for having me again, guys.
How's your season going? You've had a few weeks, but few ups, few downs?
Yeah, we're 2-2 now. Lost a few close ones that we probably should have won, but 2 weeks ago was a pretty poor batting performance. You know, lost 8 for 50 off 40 overs. We only went down by about 50 runs in that game, I think, in the end. So it wasn't massively bad, but yeah, it wasn't good, that's for sure.
Confidence is a fragile thing, isn't it? It can be broken very quickly, especially when it comes to batting.
And our opening partnerships have all been over 50. You know, so they've gone really well, the two openers, but it seems that a middle order just doesn't seem to have that sort of confidence that they have playing one day.
Speaking of shattered confidence, Berners, how are you?
Terrific, thank you. Absolutely splendid. Buzzing off here, there and everywhere. We've got a couple of underfloor installations going on. So big high-profile one in South Africa, which is just about to get cracking. And prior to that, we're in America, actually, at the Cricmax facility, which was mentioned in the news a couple of weeks ago. So that one's going live, and I'm over with Essex County Cricket Club as they start their pre-season. We're going to get some of the bowlers in on PV and just get a kind of and monitor them through the winter. So looking forward to that. So all busy, all good.
And speaking of doing coaching and having coaching informed by other areas, like, for example, strength and conditioning, we had an article on Pitch Vision Academy last week from a friend of the site called Adam Kelly, who's a sports psychologist, used to be a professional cricketer as well. And he wrote about this idea of peak end rule, which is the idea that we forget about 40% of the information that is fed to us when we're either coaching or playing in terms of our performance. And we bias it more towards what happened towards the end of a session or a match or anything like that. So if you do well towards the end of a session, even if overall it hasn't gone as well as you hope, you go away with the feeling that it was okay because the end was okay. Have you come across this before, Garras, and how does that inform your coaching?
The answer is yes, I have come across it a lot, and it's something that my successor, I suppose, in the analysis chair with England had done some work alongside the researcher, Daniel Kahneman, also gave some live examples of where people forget a lot of information, and actually the mind starts to fill the gaps, and our imagination often starts to fill the gaps. So a lot of what we recall is actually our imagination. Back in the day, there was a time where in baseball, the scouts that would go around the different clubs watching games weren't allowed to refer to video footage of those particular games. So they would only go off their notes. And when they compared the notes to the actual game that had been analysed at the central database, there was only a 40% correlation between what the notational analysis and the memory of the scouts that were watching and the actuality, which is, again, part of this research that Kahneman put together.
Berners, that's a big feather in the cap for something like Pitch Vision, which is capturing that data so you don't have to remember it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. To have not only something that you can, you know, see stats-wise, numbers and actual data, to have the reports and the pictures which can, you know, recreate people in terms of the way they pick things up is, you know, really powerful, and that's something that we actively promote.
And Gareth, is there anything that coaches or players who are listening to this playing at academy level or at club level or school level, is there anything that they can do about that?
Yeah, well, I think it's building on what Bernard said, and obviously pitch vision is one method for doing that, and one that we all use and speak very highly of. But, you know, some places may not have that that capacity. We obviously encourage them to do it as much as they can. But a lot of players will, you know, for example, on Crick HQ, which is one of the ones that I know is doing the rounds at the moment, you have the capacity for somebody to log your line and lengths every single ball, and also where the ball goes in the field. And it's amazing how the view of the bowler and actually what happened varies so significantly. So an example being this morning, we did a session on pitch vision, but we started it away from pitch vision, then brought the bowler onto it, and he started to bowl and he felt that he was hitting length on a regular basis. And then we brought him over to the pitch vision thing and he bowled pretty much exactly the same as he had over in the other net. And he realised that a number of the balls that he thought were hitting length when he was just bowling into a normal 22-yard area were actually bowling back of the length and could be therefore scored off of. Having that information, he went back over to the net, set up his own practice of putting some cones down, because obviously pitch vision isn't always going to be available for him. And he's created his own practice, which is so much more precise. And I think there's a great example of how being informed, and instead of going on what we remember, is really important, because we can bowl balls in areas that we think are right, which actually aren't in the reality of the world. So if you record that data, and we've got great spreadsheets now, haven't we? You know, and on your mobile phones, you can record data. There's no excuse. Ideally, we'd love you to buy a pitch vision system, because it does it in an automated fashion. But if you haven't got that capacity, then there's always other ways which are far more rudimental, but still pretty effective.
And that Crick HQ app sounds like another way, another reason for me to buy an iPad. So, Gareth, you're selling that to me. Apple will be very pleased.
Just on that electronic scoring stuff, I've been doing our bowling analysis on a UK-based software program that I bought, Total Cricket Score, I think it is. Yeah, it is. So we've had, you know, that vision where you can break it down. Well, the bowler's, you know, obviously pitching here, they're scoring leg side, and it actually gives him the scoring segments of where he's where all his runs have been scored. So we're finding that, you know, even just at a club level, like it was about £65, I think, to buy. At a club level, we've actually found that really insightful, and it's actually helping our bowlers try and get their lengths and lines a bit better. And that's something that, yeah, I just did off my own bat. So I sort of just went, well, I want it, so I got it. So, but it's actually helped out our bowlers a fair amount.
And how does that inform the bowlers? So you've got the data there.
I'll generally, you know, let them know on a Tuesday night. We'll sit down and go through the Saturday stuff, usually, or I'll just go through it and just have a bit of a chat with them about it. And they're finding that if they, you know, sort of go, all right, well, they're scoring a lot there. The next game, they're generally bowling a little bit more towards off, so they're not getting scored as much on the leg side. At our sort of local level, it's been quite helpful. So,
no, I completely agree. I think that's a really good example that you've given there, fella, and how you've used it. And going back to our own experience of match play, we've now got a match analysis system here at school, which is fantastic. But before that, I would score the game on one of these apps on the iPad and do exactly what you've just said. And one of our bowlers had a fantastic dot ball percentage, much higher than any of the other bowlers, but his runs per over was exactly the same, which was really interesting that he was managing to, you know, build pressure through that, through dot balls, but not being able to convert it into a significantly lower runs per over than any of the other bowlers. So what we did was I filtered out all of the dots and where the ball went when there were dots, and I filtered out all of the ones, and we discovered that his boundary percentage was really, really high. And we also discovered that deep square leg was a massive area for him. Then we looked back a little bit further over it, and we found out that ball five and ball six were the most prone balls to go for boundaries. And this all came from the report that the bit of app the app did for me. It wasn't anything that I had to look into too deeply. So as a result of that, we encouraged him to bowl exactly the same, but we just put somebody back at deep square leg instead for the last two balls of every over that he bowled. And all of a sudden, his dot ball percentage was being converted into going at 3.1 and over, which made him a much more effective bowler. So, you know, having just those bits of stats and making one simple change, which is to move your square leg back for two balls, gave him much more effectiveness, built some pressure. And as a consequence, we started to pick up wickets both at his end, but also at the other end as well.
Well, that's a great place to leave it. Let's head into the yes no round, because we've chatted enough. And of course, this is the section of the show where there's three questions. Gareth and I, and this week as well, Roy, can only answer yes or no to the three questions, no matter how much more we want to say. So, Berners, when you're ready, hit us with the yes no round.
First question: England will win the Ashes.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Tendulkar has timed his retirement perfectly.
No.
No.
Yes.
Third question. Club off-spinners bowl over the wicket too much.
Yes.
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 But done with great gravitas as well, Roy. I enjoyed that. And now it's time for the mailbag. We've got a couple of questions this week. And of course, the best one of those two questions, as well as them both being answered, the best one wins a prize, which is an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And you can send your questions into us at coach@pitchvision.com, or you can give us a call and we'll read out the numbers at the end of the show. So, Berners, what's the first question you've got this week?
First question comes in from Elvis. He's a leg spin bowler, and his coach says that his spine is at 45 degrees when he's bowling. So obviously stating that he quite possibly might have back problems in the future. However, quite helpfully, he didn't tell him how he can fix this. So he's just wondering how he could put a couple of fixes in to adjust his action somewhat.
So, Gareth, this is I think this is quite a common question, isn't it? That sometimes people call it falling away, don't they, when someone's overarching their back. What have you got on this one?
The first one that I've seen on video footage, a good lad for sending that in, because we've often said that it's difficult to pick up on things. Firstly, the things that stand out for me is that you've got a really good bowling position in your arms. Your arm slot, as we'd call it, is in a really good place. So it's not beyond perpendicular, which we often see leg spinners doing, which is going to limit the amount of side spin that you're going to get. And actually, I really like that for a position. In fact, there's quite a lot here, Elvis, that I like about your bowling. I can see where your coach has got an angle from with your back. I would question whether, looking at all of these bits of footage, that it's 45 degrees, because that would be significant side flexion to put it into sort of bowling biomechanical speak. And I would suggest that you're way under 45 degrees, which is good news for your back. The other thing that comes out of it is, actually, it sounds from your question that you haven't had back injuries in the past, and you haven't felt any pressure in the past. So it might be that your body is quite capable of being able to deliver the ball with a slight flex going over to the side, because some people's bodies are made to be able to do that. You've only got to look at bowlers, for example, Jimmy Anderson, whose head is outside the line of his feet when he lets go of the ball, but hasn't suffered with back injuries for a very, very long time. But the main reason that I would coach you here, which is related to your back a little bit, but actually I'm talking more from a performance point of view. But as your last left foot hits the ground, before you jump up in the air to get into your delivery stride, you duck in and you'll see your last left foot come way in front of your right foot, get up on its toe, and before you've left the ground, you're in what's called an over sideways position. Now, the only place that you can go from this point is, as I look at the screen, over to the left, in front of middle stump with your delivery stride. And this is what's causing your back to bend, because as soon as people jump in, that's the action. And then the reaction to that is that the body naturally compensates and reacts the other way. And therefore, that's where your back lean comes in. So I would look at putting some intervention cones down, and you'll see those. They're like the poles that you put down into the ground to try and train your run up, not necessarily to be any straighter, but to go in a direct line from your starting point to just inside mid crease. And it's really encouraging your jump off your last left foot contact before you bound to go forward rather than laterally across the crease and in front of middle stump. What this will do is it will stop you from getting into an over sideways position prior to your bound, and actually your bound will put you into a sideways position because that's what the bound is effectively for. If I stop you where both of your feet are lined up, you'll note that if I drew a line between your back foot contact and your front foot contact, if we had a right hander on strike, then the line would go to backward square leg. Ideally, we want those feet to be more aligned with your target and probably around middle and leg. So I want to be able to draw a line between your back foot contact, your front foot contact, going straight down the pitch towards middle and leg, really, rather than going towards backward square leg. Again, that comes from that last left foot bound, where you jump and you jump in to that last left foot contact, and then you jump in again, which throws your alignments out. So again, intervention poles. If you get it wrong, you crash into poles, mate. It's a good reminder that you're not going in the right direction. And I'd really concentrate on doing a one-step drill where you bounce into your last left foot contact and then go straight towards your target, feet lining up towards middle and leg for a right-handed batter. And you'll find that fantastic upper body action that you've got will start to get the ball to go into that area more often. You won't lose any spin whatsoever. And more importantly, any back injury or whatever won't come along because you'll be perfectly aligned. So that's what I would do with you.
I had a coaching clinic last week with Bryce McGann, and he touched, you know, pretty heavily on exactly what Gareth has said. So, you know, it's about obviously the feet, making sure they're pointing towards the target of where you want to go, and, you know, looking at the video, as Gareth said, he's tended trying to bowl across himself to try and get that ball, you know, back towards where it needs to be rather than going towards square leg.
Normally, people just look at point of release, but to me, that's a consequence of stuff that's gone on before. And from a biomechanical point of view, it's very much about what's happened before. And all that's happened there at point of release is that he's got into that position as a result of things before. So I'll take it back to root cause. So that's not an ideal position for him. He's got a fantastic upper body, but all of his energy is going to backward square leg rather than going towards his target area. So then I'll take the video back slowly and I'll find out at what point this starts to happen. And it starts to happen as that left foot goes, the last strike of the left foot prior to his bound. And if you still at that position, and I know a couple of guys on the end of the phone here are watching it, if you still at that position, you'll note that his shoulders are already turned into a sideways on position ahead of the bound. And the bound is there to make him sideways. So I would train him to keep his body going forwards until he hits his bound strike, and then use the jump, the bound, in order to turn himself sideways. It's a pretty simple one to me because his top half of his body looks absolutely magnificent. He gets a really good front arm lead going down towards where, you know, where he's aiming at the moment, which is backward square leg. But if you could get that going towards the batter, that's fantastic.
I'm just watching some YouTube footage of Shane Warne, and I think Elvis should probably have a look at, you know, there's a video called Shane Warne King of Spin Leg Spin Tutorial, and it's about 9 minutes, and that just goes through, you can see his delivery strides, and obviously, as Gareth was saying, you know, with the bounce, and Warne's tends to lead in to that front sort of step, so he's, you know, front onto his target until he makes that jump.
Yeah, you can see him really giving it a rip, can't you? I mean, I don't know how much he turns, but you can see by how much he's pivoting around, and you can really see the ball fizz. So there's a lot of good to work with there.
Yeah, he's got a great action.
If you could pick him up off his screen and just shift him round so everything's coming towards the camera rather than coming towards square leg, oh my goodness. You know, his top half is magnificent. It just needs to be repositioned on the crease, which comes from that bound strike, which we, you know, always go back to the root cause. That's the way. And going back to Shane Warne, I remember when he was at Hampshire in 99, he came and he did great. He got 100 wickets across the whole season. But he was also battling with a knee injury at the time, and he actually played when he shouldn't have been because he was so committed to the club. And I was his sort of eyes and ears at the time, really, because I'd done quite a lot of work with Terry Jenner. And in fact, the position that Elvis gets into here at point of release is really severe in terms of his weight going towards backward square leg. But actually, Warnie's was probably going towards leg slip for a large part of that season. And then we realigned him. In the last 3 weeks of the season, he got it. We realigned him slightly, got him going towards his target area. And all of a sudden, he started to pick up five and sixfers, as opposed to, you know, going for getting twos and threes and having to bowl a lot of overs to get his wickets. And so even the best bowler in the world, the undisputed best leg spinner that's ever played the game, has had times where he's crossed himself a little bit and his energy hasn't quite gone towards his target. But the great thing about Warnie, particularly as he got older, was that he'd start to recognise these things himself and then put them right. So in many ways, Elvis, you're ahead of Shane Warne in terms of your awareness, because you've sent this in and you've asked some questions, which has given you some answers. So well done.
And congratulations. We look forward to seeing you take your 1,000th international wicket shortly, Elvis.
Australia?
I think it's Australian. Yeah.
Oh, that's all right.
I don't think any of us are in any position to comment on fashion, but I would also, as a coach, suggest that you change that top. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean that actually told me that he was Australian more than anything else. to be honest.
Okay, what's the next question, Berners?
Second question is from Nirav. He's a right-handed opening batsman, and he just wants a few tips regarding playing and attacking spinners. Very good question, and something I've always struggled from. Normally hits the detonate button, but what do you reckon, guys?
You've got to realise that spinners will want you hit against the spin at all times, and they'll look to make you drive as much as they can. So you want to go, you know, an attacking sort of role. I guess the way to look at it is to know what they're thinking sort of in their head, where they know they want to bowl, and try and hit with the spin as much as possible. It's about all I can really say in it, because I'm never really worried about batting at all.
Well, you could give me about 4.5 hours on this one if you wanted to, but I'm not going to make you endure that. I'm going to start with mindset, and it's interesting that you're an opening batter, and therefore your practice has probably been geared towards facing seamers more than it has spinners. And often when you're talking about opening batters, their mindset against spin isn't necessarily ideal. And I was lucky enough to work with a guy called Barry Richards, who was a fairly useful player in his time for Hampshire and Natal and South Africa. He did a coaching session with me once, and I just listened to him, and he got these group of batters, and he said every time a spinner lets go of the ball, it's got a number on it. Sometimes, and most of the time, that's numbers of 4 and a 6. Sometimes it's a 3. Sometimes it's a 2. Sometimes it's a 1. And very rarely it's got a naught on it. If you set up your mindset like that, then you'll find that you will play more attackingly, but also more precisely. And I thought that was a fantastic bit of coaching. These guys then practice in the morning against throwdowns and bowling machines and what have you. And we brought in a number of spin bowlers in the afternoon to bowl and put them under some sort of match pressure. The result was phenomenal, because the batters had got a lot of confidence, had a very big and clear mind about how they were going to go about their practice. And after about 20 minutes, one of the off spinners, who was actually the top rated off spinner, turned around and said he couldn't let go of it anymore, because he didn't know what to do against the batters, because they were all doing things really, really positively without slogging. And I thought that was really good. The other guy who informed me was, I remember Kevin Peterson was on his first A tour, in fact, his only A tour for England, which went to Pakistan, and they were practicing up at Loughborough, and Rob Marsh was the coach, fellow Australian, and Royce was the coach. And KP [S2] Yeah. [S1] Came down the wicket, let the ball bounce, and went to hit it over the top and didn't get it quite right. It had gone probably for 2 over cover. Rod said to him, If you're gonna come down the wicket, don't let the bloody thing bounce. Because if you let the thing bounce, then you should have played it off a back foot. And he did it in fairly colourful language, which hit the spot. And as a result of that, all of the lads went to Pakistan, played phenomenally well. Where when they came down the wicket, they were looking to either hit it on the full toss or get as close to the ball bounce as possible. And if they weren't doing that, they were looking to play off a back foot. Now, interestingly, there's a lot of work going on in England about how you play spin, and I'm not going to give all the gems out because it would be unfair, particularly with an Australian on the line and an Ashes series coming out. But there's a lot of...
We've got some good we've got some great players of spin in our country anyway, so.
Yeah, correct. So, but a lot of the things that we're doing is exactly that, trying to get as close to the ball bounce as possible or as far away from the ball bounce as possible, and therefore letting it finish in its spin before we play any shots. And just the last thing is that I'd slightly challenge, I suppose, the view of Roy, and he was brilliant because he framed it in terms of, you know, it's not necessarily an area of specialism. But one of the things about hitting with the spin, which is really, really important to be aware of, is if you're hitting with the spin, you've got to be really precise with where you're making contact with it. Because naturally, when we swing through a ball, if we're hitting with it, say a leg spinner, trying to hit a leg spinner over the offside, then the ball's spinning across the face of our bat whilst our bat's trying to make contact with the ball. And even when we get the ball somewhere near the middle, it will probably be slightly offset and there'll be a little bit of a slicing motion on it, which tells you that the middle of a ball hasn't necessarily met the middle of a bat. One of the advantages of hitting into the spin, particularly if you're doing it off a back foot and you're, say, going to pull a leg spinner, is if you get back far enough and you let the ball finish its spin, you can meet the fullness of a ball with the fullness of a bat, which obviously gives great amount of force, but also gives you a great amount of control. And you'll see the best players of spin, particularly in the subcontinent conditions, when they come down the wicket and they hit into the spin rather than against it, which I think is a really good way of looking at it, because against sounds like a negative, whereas hitting into the spin sounds like a positive thing. They'll get right on top of the ball, and it doesn't matter whether it's a big spinning wicket, they'll still hit into the spin and hit mid-on or hit mid-wicket against a leg spinner with no problem whatsoever, because they're getting close to it and they're actually accepting that you can hit into the spin by the ball spinning into the middle of a bat rather than fading across the face of a bat.
Now it seems that it's filtering down from that top level right the way down to, you know, at local grade level, which is good to see.
There is certainly an opportunity, isn't there, to throw out the rules and say, you know, this is a complete, let's look at playing spin as a completely different way of batting compared to batting against seam bowling. I know that seems like an odd thing to say, but I think it's quite easy, especially for coaches at lower levels, to fall into the idea of, you know, there is a way to bat, and that's that you bat that way against any kind of bowling. But batting against spin is a completely different experience to batting against seam bowling, and I guess we should be looking at coaching it in two completely different ways. It's two completely different skill sets.
Yeah.
Okay, so good luck, Nirav. And that's all for the questions this week. Let's head over to the newsroom where Daisy Cutter is waiting with this week's Pitch Vision headlines.
Thank you, guys. Hi, I'm Daisy Cutter, and this is the Pitch Vision News. English professional county Essex are looking for an early advantage in the domestic game, as the academy pairs were put through their paces on pitch vision at the Graham Gooch Indoor Cricket Centre. Assistant coach Chris Silverwood commented, "Pitch vision gave us a basis to start tracking players' development throughout the winter. It's simple. We are looking for a steady increase in positive outcomes." Pitch vision interactive news now, and we are in India to look at the accuracy of bowlers. As with other countries, the best Indian bowlers average a good length 50 to 60% of the time. The top performers are PI, TU, SH and AJ, QL, AF, who hit the target around 60% of the time. Following on from these players, 24% of all bowlers achieve an accuracy of over 50%. For more details on these stories, check out the show notes at pitchvision.com. That's the Pitch Vision News for this week. I've been Daisy Cutter, and now it's back to the panel.
It's soapbox time here on the Pitch Vision Academy podcast, and we have David. He's normally quite entertaining and normally very precise about when he stops precisely on a minute. So I'm looking forward to timing him to a tenth of a second this time round. Over to you, David.
This week I want to talk about luck. And when we think of luck, normally we think about how luck is bestowed at us from afar, or we're lucky or we're not lucky, and that's the end of it. There's nothing very much that we can do about it one way or the other. But there is quite a lot of research which goes against that idea. There's quite a lot of research which says actually luck is a state of mind, and people who are lucky tend to do certain things which make them lucky because they have a slightly different mindset from people who consider themselves to be unlucky. There's a researcher called Richard Wiseman who has written a book called The Luck Factor, which is a very interesting book, and I recommend that people read it. And in that book, he talks about four things that people do that make them more lucky than people who think they're unlucky. And that is people who make the most of the opportunity to be lucky. They trust their hunches. This is the important one. They expect to be lucky, and they're always determined to turn back luck around. So try those things when you're next feeling unlucky. All right, that is the end of the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Before we go, of course, we've got our housekeeping to do, which is to choose the winner of this week's online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. So, Gareth, we had Elvis, his bowling action, and we had a good look at his video. And we had Nirav, who we talked about playing spin as a batsman. Which one did you prefer this week?
I'm going to go with Elvis purely because we got some video in, and whilst we're not going to be able to trawl through every bit of video that everybody sends in, it was fantastic to have some visual, particularly around bowling actions, and it enabled us to be really specific. So this week's winner is Elvis.
Congratulations, Elvis, and it was good angles for the videos as well. He had the back and the front and the side, and a fixed position, and he did well. He sent in a good video there, so that's a good tip for anybody who wants to get some video-based coaching, send it in to us. We can't guarantee everyone will get the same level of detail, but we'll certainly look at everyone. Now, Gareth, if someone wanted to send in their video, or if they wanted to ask a question, how would they get in touch with us?
Well, they could give us a call on 0203 239 7543, or drop us an email at coach@pitchedvision.com.
Yep. Twitter is at Pitch Vision Acad. You can send us a quick message there, or you can head over to Facebook, facebook.com/Pitch Vision Academy, and you can post a video on there or a question on there, or just have a look at some of the other videos which are getting posted up every day over on that page. If you want to listen to the show every week, and I highly recommend that you do, you get plenty of Gareth's gems every week, then you can subscribe to the show in iTunes. To do that, head over to iTunes, do a search for Pitch Vision Academy, and click on the podcast, click on the subscribe link. And if you don't want to do that, head over to pitchvision.com/academy, click on the podcast link, and you can find the details for subscribing in any podcatcher that you like. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Berners. Cheers, Roy.
Cheers, guys. Question: England will win the Ashes.
Yes.
Yes.
No. Well, I couldn't clearly say yes to that one. Surely.
you're not allowed. You'd be thrown out of Australia.
Exactly. It's against our. Isn't it against our constitution?
So yeah.